Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
1 Timothy 6:7, the Bible says, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." Think about that for a moment. You brought nothing in, and there's nothing you get to take with you. Yesterday, my wife and I drove by the hospital where both of us were born, and I started thinking, like, that's crazy, man. My life here on earth started in that building. And I was thinking, like, what would it be like to, like, walk back into that room and just be in that room, like, where my life on earth began? And it started with nothing except for what God gave me, which was incredible looks, which I'm thankful for. But think about that for a moment. You brought nothing into this world, and one day when you exit this world, which you will exit this world at some point, there's nothing that you are going to take with you. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. He's saying we need to learn how to trust in God and be content with what we have and be grateful for what we have and learn how to steward what we have. Are you understanding? Like, be content. Jesus says this. He says, look at the birds flying around. They're not working hard, yet they're eating. And he says, look at the flowers. Watch how they grow. Look how beautiful they are. They're not working for it. And he says this, you are more valuable than them. If God knows how to take care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, don't you think he can take care of you? Then he says this, he says, look, relax. This is my paraphrase. Relax. Rest, be content, learn how to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything that you need will be added unto you. In other words, God knows there are some things you need in your life, and he has the ability to take care of you. Not only does he have the ability, but he has the desire to do it. So if we can just learn to relax and shift our eyes to him and get in flow with him, then everything that we need will come into our life. Paul says, be content with what you have. Contentment produces gratitude. Everything that I have is a gift from God. I don't own anything. I'm a steward of it. Are you following me? It says, be content. But those who desire, those who hunger, those who are driven to be rich, fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plague people, into ruin and destruction. Verse 10 says, for the love of money, somebody say the love of money. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving, what craving? The craving and the desire and the drive to be rich that some have wandered away from the faith and pierce themselves with many pangs. When I was in high school, I used to carry a wallet that had one of those chains attached to it. You know what I'm talking about? But it was like, it was a bad boy chain. Like, that thing swung down to my knee. And it really wasn't for security, because I really wasn't concerned like somebody was gonna snatch my wallet. It was more for fashion. But I was thinking about that wallet this week, and I was trying to find the chain so I could bring it to church to show you that it really does exist. And I had this thought, was my life connected and chained to that wallet, or was that wallet chained to me? In other words, the way we could look at it is, when it comes to money, do we have control of our money, or does our money control us? And I think that's really the heart of what Paul is dealing with in his letter to Timothy. He's saying there are some people who have been led away from their faith because their heart was attached to their money. They've been led away from doing what is right, led away from doing what pleases God because they actually served another master. You need to understand that money can become a master unless you learn how to master it. And money is a terrible, terrible, terrible master. Now, right off the bat, I need you to know, Paul is not saying money is evil. Some people misquote this verse about, you know, brother, that money is the root of all evil. No! Money has no agenda. Money doesn't care what it does. Money can be used for good or for evil. Money has no agenda. It is the agenda of the heart that drives what the money does. And so he's wanting us to see, like, money's not bad, but it makes a terrible master. It is okay to have money. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's okay to have money. Now say it like you want some more. It's okay to have money. It is not okay for money to have you. Money's not bad. As a matter of fact, money can alleviate a lot of pressures that we carry in our life. I mean, how many of you would like to have some more money? Yeah, me too. That there are some things that I could use money for that would better my life and the life of the people around me. I mean, if our church had more money, we would be able to do a lot more for our community, for our city. I mean, in the month of November, we're going to be feeding families, and that's awesome. But if we had more money, we'd feed more families. We've built homes in Guatemala, but if we had more money, we would build more homes. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Like, money's great. Money can alleviate some pressure, but what I want you to understand is money cannot solve all of your problems. More money will not fix bad spending. It will enhance it. Think about that. See, some of us don't need more money, we need a better budget. I knew someone one time, they were always going to their employer asking for a raise. Need more money, need more money, need more money. And so their employer would give them more money, and a few months later, they're coming back. I need more money, I need more money. Why? Because as their finances increased, so did their spending. See, money wasn't the solution. Money actually supercharged the problem. Money by itself cannot fix things. I mean, money can't by itself heal addiction. And unless there's a change of heart and a change of mind, money will actually feed that addiction. It gives you the ability to do more of what you crave and what you desire. Money will not fix a lust problem in your life. Money just gives you the ability to get more of what you want. Are you following what I'm saying? Money doesn't fix things. It enhances who you already are. It reveals what you truly desire. If you ever watched those shows about the people who win the lottery and what happens a few years later, there's people, they get millions and millions and millions of dollars. And a few years later, they have nothing and in some cases are worse off than they were before. Why? Because money wasn't the solution. Money cannot fix what's broken in you. Turn to the person next to you and say, money cannot fix what's broken in you. That's why you see these celebrities, they have everything money could buy. They can travel the world. They can stay in the most amazing places. They can eat the most decadent meals. They can drive the most beautiful cars, yet many of them end their life in suicide or an overdose. Why? Because money could not fix what was broken inside of them. A great example of this from the Bible is found in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's King Solomon's time of reflection on his life. And he tells us some things that are amazing. If you're not aware with who King Solomon was, he was the wealthiest man to ever live at that time. He had more money than anyone, and he could get anything he wants. And watch what he says here in Ecclesiastes, the second chapter. Verse 4. He says, I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forests of the growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself. Are you seeing a theme here? For myself. I did this for myself. It wasn't for the benefit of anyone else except for me. He says, I also, verse 8, I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of the kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, watch this, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept from my heart no pleasure. For my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered. I began to reflect on my life. I began to think about everything. I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Think about that. He says it's like chasing the wind. Anything he wanted, he went after. He thought more would be the solution to whatever was broken inside of him. But at the end of the day, he sits back and he looks at everything that he has and he says, it really means nothing. Because it's just a chasing after the wind. The more I grab, the more I grasp, I realize that when I open my hands, they're just as empty as they were before. Watch what he says in Ecclesiastes 5:10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. The point he's making is it's never enough. As soon as you get what you think is going to fulfill you, you look down and you go, I'm just as empty as I was before. So what do? You grasp for more. You expend more energy, more effort, accumulate more stuff. But at the end of the day, you're still broken. Why? Because money cannot fix everything in your life. There are some things that only God can do. And if you don't have the right perspective, you'll spend your entire life going after stuff instead of going after God. When he says, if you'll just seek me, if you'll come after me, if you'll live life the way I've designed it to be lived, then these things that you need, these things that you desire, they'll actually follow you. See, you were not built or designed to chase stuff. Stuff is there to come after you. The Bible says that the blessings of God will chase you down and overtake you. Why? Because you're going after it? No, because I've got my eyes on Jesus. I'm headed towards Jesus. So now that I'm headed towards Jesus, my life is fulfilled. I have peace. I have joy, not based upon what I'm going through, not based upon what I have in this world, but based upon who He is in me. And as a reflection of that, these other things start flowing towards me. I'm no longer chasing the wind to find empty hands. The more I grasp, the more empty I am. But when I open my hands, the wind I'm chasing finds me. That's really good right there. I think Mr. Miyagi would say it this way: closed hand, no wind. Open hand, wind find me. It's pretty good, right? Thank you. I'm available for most birthday parties and bar mitzvahs. But that's powerful, man. When I'm trying to get, I find myself empty. But when I open my hands, it creates space for the blessing of God in my life. See, greed grabs, generosity opens, and open hands create space to be filled. Let me show you something in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, starting at verse 6, and after verse 6, we'll read 7. 6, 7. Dude, I am working harder than y'all are responding today. The Apostle Paul, he's talking about money here and our attitude towards it. He says, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows bountifully will also reap what? Bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Why does God love a cheerful giver? Because it reflects His nature. He's an extremely generous God, and as His children, we should be extremely generous with whatever He places in our life. If He has released peace to you, then you should be an agent of peace to others. If you have joy unspeakable, full of glory, then some people should get some joy coming from your life. Whatever He gives you is there for you to steward and to release, to be a blessing to others, not for you to hold on to for yourself. And He says, when you do this, when you learn how to sow this way, then I will bless you in a generous way. It's amazing. Watch this, verse 8. And God, who is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. What's He saying? I'm going to make a way for you to do more of what I love. Verse 9, as it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Are you seeing that? He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. In other words, as long as you are scattering seed, he will bring more seed into your life. But not just seed, he'll also give you bread. Verse 11, he says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. I will bless you in every way so that you continue to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. This morning on my way to church, I was meditating on that passage, and that thought of seed and bread hit me like a ton of bricks. Because he says, if you will release the seed, I will bring more seed, but I'll also give you bread. What is bread for? Eating. So he's saying, I'm going to give you what you need to be satisfied, but I'm also going to give you more than enough so that you can sow some seed. Here's one of the problems that we have. We have not rightly discerned between seed and bread. So what happens is we eat what we should be sowing. We eat what we should be investing. It's fine to be blessed. God will bring you the bread. But if you keep on eating the seed, you have no ability to bring the things of God back into your life. The kingdom of God works on seed time and harvest. It is the open hand. As I open my hand, my life is filled. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his way of doing things. And as a result, all these things that I need are starting to come into my life. We've got to really rethink money for a moment. Because so many of us see money as the source of our life instead of seeing it as a resource in our life to be used for the purpose of God. If I make money the source of my life, then I start moving into idolatry. But when money becomes a resource in my life, it becomes worship. The source is, this is mine, this is what I need, this is what I'm going to go after. The resource is, this is God's, it's been placed in my life for me to steward over. Think about this. If you're familiar with the story of God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, the Bible says that they plundered Egypt. So when they left wealthy. And one of the first things they do when they get in the wilderness with their wealth is they build a golden statue to worship. What are they doing? They're using the blessing of God that came from God to create an idol to worship. Later in the story, they take the same wealth that they received from plundering Egypt, the blessing of God in their life, and they used it to build the tabernacle, the house of God. See, money has no agenda. We have the agenda. Sometimes we say things like, well, money changes people. You ever heard that? Money will change a person. I don't believe that to be true. I don't think money changes people. I think money further reveals who you've always wanted to be. You've just got the ability to do some things now that you couldn't do before. What that means is a generous person becomes more generous. But a greedy person becomes more greedy. Those who see money as their source and their God chase after it more and more and more. It never satisfies. But those who see money as a resource that God has placed in your life to further his kingdom, to bless you and to bless others, it becomes an act of worship. There's a great story throughout the Gospels of this woman who comes into the house where Jesus is, and she's got this alabaster box filled with precious oil. The Bible says that the cost of this oil would be what we would consider today like a year's worth of wages. Think about that. She's carrying a year's worth of her wages in her hands. And she comes before Jesus and she breaks open that box. And she pours that expensive oil on the feet of Jesus and she begins to worship him. What's she showing? She's showing what and who she values in her life. In that moment, the cost of the oil meant nothing because of the value she had on Christ. She had things in proper perspective. In light of who Jesus is and in light of what he has done for me and the mercy and the love he's shown me, this oil means nothing, so I will gladly pour it out on him. It's revealing her heart. But at the same time, Judas sees this and he gets mad. He's like, do you know how many hungry people we could have taken care of with that oil? And Jesus says, leave her alone. She has done a beautiful thing for me. Why does he call it beautiful? Because she has revealed her heart of love and worship. But see, it wasn't just her heart that was revealed in that moment. It was also the heart of Judas. She revealed her desire to worship. Her desire to let go. And Judas revealed his heart of greed. Because the Bible tells us he was a thief. He wanted that money for himself. See, it's really about the heart. It's more about the heart than it is about the money. It's just the money reveals the heart. Where your treasure is, the Bible says, there your heart will be also. What I want us to do today is I want us to start rethinking the concept of money and really start looking at what is my relationship to this thing? Am I chained to it or do I direct its flow? It's like a dog on a leash. Am I being led by the dog or am I leading the dog where I want it to go? What is in my heart? God, reveal to me my heart. And if there's any wicked way in my heart, God, I want you to change that in me so that everything that I am and everything that I have is used to honor and worship who you are and to further what you want to accomplish here on this earth. Every single person in this room is filled with precious oil that God wants to release. Are you willing to break the box? The Bible says it broke, and the fragrance, the aroma of that gift filled the room. It was something pleasing in the room. Are you willing to break the box so that what God has placed in you can be released and become a pleasing aroma, not just in the sight of God, but a blessing to others? Or do you hold on to the box? Do you master your money, or is your money your master? Listen, this is not a sermon because I'm getting ready to take an offering, because I'm not. It's about the condition of our heart. Because so many times we say one thing, but our heart reveals something else. You want to know what someone loves? Look at how they spend. It will reveal what matters most to them. To this lady, the only thing that mattered in that moment was sitting at the feet of Jesus and worshiping.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.